the mountains and the sea. Your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing. When your love came down, I could sing of your love forever. 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 Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing. When your love came down, I will sing of your love forever. I will sing of your love forever. I will sing of your love forever. I will sing of your love forever.
Well, and you might say in honor of Valentine's Day, which fell in this calendar week, we, my darling, my sweetheart, my Valentine, Annette and I chose to sing that more or less contemporary song. Of course, I will sing of your love forever, talking about the love of the Lord. And of course, as I put in my Valentine's card to my darling wife, I gave my heart to Jesus a long time ago, and I gave my heart to you as well. And I have not taken my heart back from either of you. So, we have had some listeners inquire from time to time, asking us if we are actually available. We do the radio broadcast, of course, and minister in a variety of different settings and venues, churches and different meetings, if we're available to go out and to do some singing, to lead some praise and worship, and to speak some Bible preaching and some historical teaching from the Patriot Pastor. Yes, we are available to do those things. And if you have an interest for your church or your group, then give us a call at 522-9115, or you can email us at thewell@thewelloflivingwater.com, and we would be glad to see if we can't put you on the calendar. Well, it's certainly true that a popular government cannot flourish without virtue in the people. And that was said by Richard Henry Lee, one of the ancestors of Robert E. Lee. He wrote that in a letter to Colonel Martin Pickett on the 5th of March in 1786. So, yes, in the founding era, they understood what sometimes people today don't seem to understand, that a popular government, meaning a good government, cannot flourish without virtue in the people. Well, in 1800, DuPont de Nemours reported to Thomas Jefferson that in the United States of America, not more than 4 in 1,000 are unable to write legibly, while in many European countries, less than 20% of the population can read. And why were Americans in 1800 more literate than their European counterparts? Nemours' conclusion? The Bible is read. Fathers read aloud to their children while breakfast is being prepared. The simple act of fathers reading the Bible aloud to their children led the fledgling United States of America to the highest literacy rate in the world. From infancy, children in American homes were exposed daily to Holy Scripture, and through this process they learned to read and write. American boys and girls became literate even as they became versed in the teachings of God's Word, the most important training of all. And how far we have come as Christian Americans since Nemours' report of 1800? Well, Yet the significance of his observations should not be lost on us, for our prowess as a nation during the early days of the Republic was no accident. Did you hear that, folks? Consider this. More than 3,000 years ago, another fledgling nation came into its own, the nation of Israel. As Joshua prepared to lead his people to take the promised land, God gave him this charge: to lead the people according to God's word. And so, folks, it's still true today, though we have a lot of, I don't think we have as many people. 4 in 1,000 are able to write legibly anymore. We'd like to think so with the billions of dollars that are spent on education. If somebody is not educated in the things of the Lord, and our founders certainly were, there's no doubt in my mind, they knew the Bible and they crafted our republic from what they understood the Bible to say. Well, Benjamin Rush wrote a letter to President No. 2, John Adams, on the 20th of August, 1811. He said, "In such a performance, you may lay the foundation of national happiness only in religion." He meant Christianity. He was a Bible-believing Christian. "Not by leaving it doubtful whether morals can exist without it, but by asserting that without religion, morals are the effects of causes as purely physical as pleasant breezes and fruitful seasons." And you know, in the Kentucky Ten Commandments case, the judge ruled that the Ten Commandments being posted was unconstitutional, and one of the reasons that they didn't want to post it is because the students may read the Ten Commandments and then do them. Well, folks, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with it to me, and I'm sure to many of our listeners there's nothing wrong with anyone following the Ten Commandments, which are not the Ten Suggestions. Well, President No. 6, that was John Quincy Adams, another son of President John Adams, another father-son presidential team, you might say. "There are two prayers that I love to say. The first is the Lord's Prayer, and because the Lord taught it, and the other is what seems to be a child's prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep, and I love to say that because it suits me. I have been repeating it every night for many years past, and I say it yet, and I expect to say it my last night on earth." Can you imagine a president saying that? Well, Daniel Webster, in the argument, he was an attorney, a lawyer, in the argument McCulloch versus Maryland in February of 1819, said, "An unlimited right to tax implies a right to destroy." Folks, both on the town, county, and state, federal level, we are allowing our government to move outside of what is the law concerning all these matters. And by the way, when you look at a phone bill or you look at your fuel bill or whatever, and they put all these taxes on there, and they call them universal service fees and connectivity fees and everything, those are all taxes. And when you add them all up in the course of a year, or by the way, if you go out and buy a new set of tires, you pay an FET, that's federal excise tax, and then of course now they want a couple of dollars per tire to dispose of them, that's a tax too. How many taxes can we afford to pay before we don't have anything left? Well, George Washington Carver said, "How far you go in life depends on your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and strong, because someday in life you will have been all of these." Now that is a bit of wisdom, isn't it? Well, in 1947, U.S. Senate Chaplain Peter Marshall, I know his son, Peter Marshall Jr., he prayed, "We want to do right and to be right. So start us in the right way, for thou knowest that we are very hard to turn." Is that you? Well, let me point the fingers back at me. You know, whenever you take your hand and point your index finger at somebody, remember there's three fingers pointing back at you. Am I very hard to turn? Well, I pray, Lord, that I'm not hard to turn in your direction, I pray that I'm hard to turn away from your direction. Well, President number 34, in his State of the Union in 1959, there's going to be a quiz, by the way, folks. Somewhere along the line, there's a quiz. Do you know the answer? Who was President number 34? It was President Eisenhower. He said, "If we make ourselves worthy of American ideals, if we do not forget that our nation was founded on the premise that all men are creatures of God's making, the world will come to know that it is free men who carry forward the true promise of human progress and dignity." And I'm sure that in that day, nobody would have ever expected that babies would be killed in their mother's wombs. Folks, I know I mentioned this quite a bit on the broadcast, but it is one of the great sad tragedies of this generation, how literally human beings are thrown away. And I can't help but to wonder that sometimes the Lord has sent these babies who would grow up into people who might have some of the answers to some of our most debilitating problems. A few other quotes from the past. The philosopher Aristophanes, the Greek, sometimes, and he was also a playwright. You wonder, well, what do these people know? Well, he knew this. He said, "You vote yourselves salaries out of the public funds and care only for your own personal interests. Hence, the state limps along." Gee, that sounds like something we could say goes on today. We find out that people in Congress, they're not part of Social Security. They have their own program. They vote themselves raises and all kind of benefits and so forth and so on without considering what this actually does to the people and to our government. And don't think for a moment that I don't think the people are certainly worth their salt. I mean, everybody's get paid for their work. But don't we think we need to have a little more oversight than, I mean, wouldn't you like to go to work tomorrow and vote yourself a raise? Well, Charles Louis de Secondat said the deterioration of every government begins, listen to this, with the decay of the principles on which it was founded. So anybody out there that listens to this broadcast or has heard me speak publicly in the many different places that I go and share these things, you wonder, well, why are you always talking about the early New Testament church, the foundation? You know, Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church, and not even the gates of hell will prevail against it." Well, that's one reason why I talk about the founding of the New Testament church, starting there with the day of Pentecost, and also why I talk about the founding of America, the foundational era. Why? Because the deterioration of our government today has a lot to do with the fact that the very principles that our republic was founded on have been forgotten. And we need to be reminded of those things if we want to stay strong as a country, and I believe that that's a good idea. Well, Herbert Spencer said, "A man's liberties are none the less aggressed upon because those who coerce him to do so in the belief that he will be benefited." So some of the things that are going on in our country right now, you've heard me mention many times how I am not in favor of giving up civil liberties. And by the way, I'm no fan of the American Civil Liberties Union. In many ways, I think they're the American Communist Union. But I do believe in civil liberties. That's another organization that co-opted a name. We have civil liberties that are rights that have been given to us by our Creator. That's in our foundational documents. The Lord has given us certain rights. And, of course, governments throughout the world have historically taken away these rights that God has given us. And America was started to make sure that those rights were going to be protected. That's why we have the Bill of Rights. So remember, a man's liberties are nonetheless aggressed upon because those who coerce him do so in the belief that he will be benefited. Giving up our liberties is not a benefit to anybody. You've probably read Gulliver's Travel, written by Jonathan Swift. He said, "Liberty of conscience is nowadays only understood to be the liberty of believing what men please, but also of endeavoring to propagate that belief as much as they can." So the liberty to believe, the liberty to say, freedom of speech, all these things very important. And we've lost so many of those. But folks, there is something we can do about it. Well, Elias Root Biddle said, half the work that is done in this world is to make things appear what they are not. And modern commentator Walter Williams said, government cannot achieve the efficiencies of a business. Trying to get government to be as efficient as business is hopeless as trying to teach cats to bark and dogs to meow. Well, Walter, I hope that that's not true, because we are certainly trying to see government be more efficient. Senator Norm Coleman from Minnesota said this, Washington is the only place where people break the law and then call for changing the law. You may have heard it, maybe you haven't, but a panel of the 2nd U.S. Circuit Court, by the way, up here in New Hampshire, Massachusetts, we're in the 1st Circuit Court, in case you didn't know that. But in the 2nd Court, to the south of us, the appeals court ruled last week that displaying the Jewish menorah and the Islamic star and crescent on public property, that's okay, but not a Christian nativity scene. The court said New York public schools can continue a policy of banning nativities and ruling, and I think it's a ruling that many feel is hostile to Christianity. And have you noticed that? If you're truly a Christian and you're out front in your faith in Christ and you're speaking boldly your faith in Christ, well, there's a hostility there. Why? Because Jesus is the only Savior, no one else. Well, here's a great idea for those of you that own businesses. A convenience store in Snead, Alabama, will give you a free soft drink or a cup of coffee if you're willing to recite the Bible passage. Excuse me, if you're willing to recite the Bible passage that the owner, Dale Lanier, has posted. This month's memory verse is Psalm 118:8 that says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Lanier says he has been doing this for the last 6 years and gives away between 2 and 12 drinks a day. You see, there are many different ways to get the gospel out there. Not just some of the ones that you know, but ask the Holy Spirit to give you some other things. Well, an urgent prayer request came to me from Afghanistan. I have people contact me from very many different places around the country, and yes, different parts of the world, and I think this is important. I want to read this to you, because for those of you out there that think Islam is a religion of peace and, gee, that, you know, these nice people and so forth, this is what it says in the prayer request. If you're praying for us, we need you now. Yesterday was the anniversary of Muhammad's grandson's death. This is a day that the Shiite Muslims pay homage to him by beating their chests until they're black and blue and whipping their backs with knife-tipped whips until they're raw and bloody. Yesterday, as thousands of Muslims gathered at the mosques to perform this brutal ceremony, one of the mullahs used the opportunity to relay his preaching from the loudspeaker that's affixed to the top of the mosque. The same speaker that broadcast the mullah's prayer call throughout the city 5 times a day. He was calling the Muslims to slaughter the foreigners who have invaded their land. So as I write this, there are reportedly 2,000 Afghans marching towards Kabul's center to find and kill foreigners. Please pray for our safety and the safety of all the foreigners in this land. So folks, many of the things that are going on across our country and across the world don't get reported on the news, and we don't know about things. But we need to stay posted on these things and to be praying. Yes, it's dangerous. Most of those foreign people that are there in Afghanistan that I know of, they're Christians that are there to bring them the gospel. And it's not the gospel of Muhammad. It's the gospel of Christ, the only true gospel. Well, on a lighter note, and as I mentioned, this calendar week being the celebration of Valentine's Day, I thought I might read this to you. Interesting. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and populated the earth with broccoli, cauliflower, and spinach, green, yellow, and red vegetables of all kinds, so man and woman would live long and healthy lives. Then, using God's great gifts, Satan created Ben and Jerry's ice cream and Krispy Kreme donuts. And Satan said, "You want chocolate with that? A man said, yes. And woman said, as long as you're at it, add some sprinkles, and they gained 10 pounds. Satan smiled. God created the healthful yogurt that woman might keep, the figure that man found so fair. Satan brought forth white flour from the wheat, sugar from the cane, and combined them, and woman went from size 6 to size 14. So God said, try my fresh green salad. Satan presented Thousand Island dressing, buttery croutons, and garlic toast on the side, and man and women unfastened their belts following the repast. God then said, I have sent you heart-healthy vegetables and olive oil in which to cook them. Satan brought forth deep-fried fish and chicken-fried steak, so big it needed its own platter, and a man gained more weight, and his cholesterol went through the roof. God then created a light, fluffy white cake, named it Angel Food Cake, and said, it's good. Satan then created chocolate cake and named it Devil's Food. God then brought forth running shoes so that his children might lose those extra pounds. Satan gave cable TV with a remote control so man would not have to toll and toil, changing the channels, and man and women laughed and cried before the flickering blue light and gained pounds. Then God brought forth the potato, naturally low in fat and brimming with nutrition. Satan peeled off the healthful skin and sliced the starchy center into chips and deep-fried them, and man gained more pounds. God then gave lean beef so that man might consume fewer calories and still satisfy his appetite. Satan created McDonald's and its 99-cent double cheeseburger, then said, you want fries with that? And man replied, yes, and supersized them. Satan said, it is good, and man went into cardiac arrest. Well, God sighed and created quadruple bypass surgery. Then Satan created HMOs. Well, I know that's kind of funny, folks. It's meant to be funny, but at the same time, remember, 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:19 says, your body, ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, is Garrett Lear on a health kick? You better believe it. Well, do you know that Governor Lynch here in New Hampshire won't enforce the laws of the state? A group of organizations and legislators thank Governor Lynch for recognizing the value that traditional marriage contributes to families and to the well-being of the state when he proclaimed February the 7th through the 14th as Marriage Week in New Hampshire. But then he went on to have a spokesman say that he objected to the traditional marriage reference since the proclamation did not include the word traditional anywhere in it. So, does his objection to traditional marriage indicate he is not willing to uphold marriage as defined by the New Hampshire laws? RSA 427 specifically reinforces traditional marriage. A man is prohibited from entering into marriage with another man, and a woman is likewise prohibited from marrying another woman. Well, folks, there is something going on in our state. The proposed constitutional amendment, concurrent resolution, CAC R 34. And at the hearing last week, there was a woefully inadequate turnout by the people in favor of traditional, monogamous, biblical-type marriage, okay? Heterosexual marriage. I mean, why do we have to say these things? But there are people out there that they think marriage is anything they want to define it. So are you going to do something about it? I mean, I have been emailing. I have been calling. I have been getting in touch with those. I mean, first of all, we need to pray. Second of all, we need to call people like Senator Boyce, ask him to honor his word and submit the CACR into the Senate under rules. Get in touch with your local legislator. And by the way, for those of you that are in the Madbury area, one of your representatives is actually lives in Madbury, and also that's Janet Wall. She is on the committee. The committee that handles this is the House Judiciary Committee. She needs a call. In fact, if you will go to, and I mentioned this last week, go to the website www.nhcornerstone.org. You can find out all these things that are going on there, how to get in touch with these people. It's a great website. streamlines the opportunity for you to be an activist. Folks, we cannot sit by and say, well, traditional marriage will never be voted out in New Hampshire. It could be. I mean, the other side, the homosexual sodomite community and others that are joining them, are very powerful. They have lots of money behind them. They got people coming in from all over the country. They're trying to do this in every state in the union. Are you going to let this happen here? And don't say it can't happen. Happened in Massachusetts, civil unions in Vermont, now down in Maryland and other places. It could happen here. But you know what we find out whenever the Christians arise and do the Lord's will? Well, we see a victory. So if you want more information about how you can help, if you're short of ideas, you can certainly get in touch with me and I'll give you some. Well, in the fleeting moments of the broadcast, as so often is the case, much more to bring to you than I have time for, I want to read to you from the book of Proverbs. Now, the term proverb could also be translated similes or parables. It's basically used in this book known as the Book of Proverbs, and I hope that you will read through it. I mean, it'll only take you 31 days if you read one a day. And we're going to read from the first proverb, and I want you to pay close attention here to the third verse, and I'll emphasize it in a moment. In verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give subtly to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Folks, that was true then. It is true now. I believe our founding fathers who learned, and the people of colonial America who learned to read and write better than other people, almost as we read in the early part of the broadcast, very few could not read and write. They read Proverbs over and over again. They understood that they needed to look to the Lord to show them and instruct them in wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. The things in that word equity, the things would be fair for all. Special treatment for none, equal treatment for all. These are very important principles that come to us from the Bible, not just a government understanding and they're being lost. So I hope that you will spend some time reading in the book of Proverbs. Meanwhile, we want to thank our sponsors, ABBA Medical, 91 Portsmouth Avenue in Exeter. They have 24-hour service, free delivery, 1-800-718-2173. All of your medical supply needs, go by and see them. Simmons Law Office, a general practice of law, from somebody who understands and reads the Bible every day before they even read the law books. Can you imagine that? 886 Lafayette Road, Hampton, 929-9100. If you do not have a Bible and can't afford to buy one, if you do not have a copy of the New Hampshire Constitution, please contact us, the Well of Living Water, at thewelloflivingwater.com on the web, or you can call us 522-9115, and we will make sure to get out to you a free Constitution or Bible. Till next time, as always, what am I going to say? Those of you that listen in, you know, Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. Serve only Jesus. We're not afraid to use the words like cross, sin, death, resurrection, what the Bible says. and you shouldn't either if you're following Christ. Lord bless you.